Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beat.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
Here's David Hollander.
It's May 1st, and tax filing is just around the corner. Now we know tax rates are most likely going up, so you better stock up now while supplies last. And the most tax-laden asset you probably own is an IRA or 401k. So naturally, you're probably considering converting to a Roth IRA, so that money can grow tax-free. But is converting these accounts to a tax-free Roth really a good idea? Well, it might be. So today I'm going to give you five things to consider right now, as you're probably having that conversation about converting to a tax-free Roth. Good morning. I'm David Hollander. You hear the jingle. People around here call me the Sandman, and that's because I help people sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. If you have a question, something came up this week, you can always tweet me a question as well at PYA Radio. Again, at PYA Radio, anytime you like. So if keeping your tax rates are low, that's important to you in retirement, then you probably thought about converting some of your IRA or your 401k to a tax-free Roth IRA. In fact, right now, that's probably all you're hearing about as you're starting to file your tax returns. Many are advising to take some money out of your IRA right now and convert that to a Roth IRA. But there's some reasons why you may not want to do that. It's not necessarily the best thing to do for everyone. And so before you just blindly jump in there and do it, there are five things you need to know right now before you do a Roth conversion so it doesn't come back and bite you later. So you don't want to miss a single second as we talk about this. It could save you literally thousands of dollars. So now let's get started. Well, it was an interesting week, of course, on the market. We had the GDP number, which was tremendous. The economic rebound is obviously accelerating, and the economy is on trajectory right now, back to normal the next few months. And the Dow this week was off about 0.5%. The S&P was flat, and the NASDAQ was down about 0.4%. Nothing major. But while the GDP was so strong, there was a lot of press around that, and you could ignore it. First, it's an old number. It measures the activity from January, February, and March. And second, the GDP is equivalent of being on a road trip and taking a picture of your speedometer every so often. It tells you how fast you're going at that instant, but it doesn't really tell you anything about what's going to happen in the future. And that's really what we care about, because the market really cares about what's going to happen next. And that's why it doesn't trade off of the GDP, even though the media tends to focus on this. So the number was, yes, it was very good. It came in at 6.4%. Now, looking at a graph, going back to 2008, this was the second largest gain we've seen in quite a long time. You may remember that the last time we saw this was at the pre-pandemic level, 2019. We saw a nice little rise. And something to consider, which was interesting, was in 2008, when we had the all-time high of the market again, and then we had a pullback because of the financial crisis that occurred, the GDP number dropped about 4% from the decline. And if you look at what just happened during the coronavirus, the second quarter of 2020, it went down over 10%. So, you know, that was a big decline. And of course, if you look at it, it's a classic V-shaped recovery. And right now we're seeing, you know, things looking pretty good overall. You had the Fed this past week come out and talk. We talked about that last week, about what the Fed was going to say. And there was really no surprises there. So, as you know, they had their meeting on Wednesday. And they were basically continuing to say that they're remaining dovish and supportive of assets And despite the rebound in the activity we just talked about with the GDP, they're going to stay the course. They like the fact that the COVID cases are declining. They're seeing a rise in inflation. And so the four pillars we keep talking about that are sustaining this rally right now are intact. And what are those again? Let's go over. You've got the massive government spending stimulus, which again, we heard more this week. You've got historic Fed accommodation, which is the Fed keeping rates at the levels we've seen, almost playing chicken with the market. You've got a vaccine progress, not just here in this country, but now starting to look internationally. And you've got an economic rebound, which was clearly just indicated by that GDP number of over 6%. So what does that mean in terms of outlook for stocks? Well, for the medium term, it's positive. And that's why the market is where it is right now. But I'd say right now the market's sort of running out of gas, if you will. It's just in a hold and wait and see pattern, if you will. It needs a positive catalyst because, as I was saying, the markets look forward to see any, you know, things that they don't see as a catalyst to spark the returns to go higher. And so if you want to see the S&P, remember we've been talking about the S&P hovering around 4,200. It's just about there now. And you know, people are saying, maybe go to 4,500. And that's possible. Sure, it's possible. But what's going to take it there? I don't think the earnings we're seeing right now from the companies, which have been really good overall, across the board earnings are looking pretty good, but it's not the spark that we need to see. So what could be the spark? What are some things we need to pay attention to see if this could go higher this year? Well, the global economy right now, that's a candidate that could drive markets higher because, again, if there's an acceleration over there, if they see a progress the way that we've seen it and decline in these cases, these COVID cases, then that could be a tailwind on stocks and that would help. And what would it do to our treasury? Well, if that happens, realize that the yields will continue to go higher. So the decline we saw in the 10-year treasury the last couple of weeks, I think is over. And I think you're going to see that continue to rise higher on the 10-year. And that's going to be somewhat of a negative on stocks. Well, we'll see what happens there. Also, if any of these fundamentals go away, any of these four pillars start to slip away, then remember, we could easily see a 5 to 10% pullback very short term. So don't let that shock you if that comes around, because that's something that's just sort of normal overall. So what are we going to be looking for? Well, it's the June meeting. So the Fed now is going to wait until June. They're going to get back together and then they'll have their conference again. And so I think that that's going to be a very interesting time because, again, they'll be looking at the data and they'll be making some decisions. And if we see two more strong jobs reports, say in April and May, like we've been seeing this continued reopening, then you could get somewhat of that taper tantrum we saw back in 2013. Remember when the Fed started to change their policy. But for right now, they acknowledge that the activity is improving and dramatically were the words they used. They also talked about inflation that is rising, but they're still saying it's transitory. It's nothing to be concerned about. And so if that changes again, that's another, you know, factor that could cause this pullback. And so we really got to pay attention to what they're saying. But as of right now, they have this attitude of we really don't care. And in fact, one of the reporters on Wednesday asked Chairman Powell straight out, just said, you know, are you going to be changing any of this policy in the near term future? And he said, no. He just said flat out, no, QE was not stopping. So that's the first kind of direct comment we've seen from the Fed. And all it means is that, you know, at some point, someone's playing chicken and we're going to see who's going to win. So the bottom line is I think yields are going to continue to rise a little bit and we need to start watching out for a few things. Well, what kind of things? We talk about inflation. Inflation is the byproduct of what's going on right now. It's just historically, that's what we've seen. And what I'd like to focus on, what I'd like to teach you about this morning is how do you look at inflation? What's an intelligent way to consider if inflation is out there on your horizon, which again is a danger sign? There are three things going forward now on a monthly basis. I'm going to be bringing you these data points we're going to be looking at, and you can look at them too. And so what I'd recommend you take a look at are the 5-year Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. They're called TIPS, the 5-year TIPS. For me, for an alarm bell to ring, I'd need to see these yields go above 3% in a strong way. Right now, it's around 2.54%, but if we see that get up in that range and start to go over that, that's a sign of inflation, in my opinion. And this measures more of the market and the consumer expectation, what I'm talking about right now, as opposed to some of the other things that they talk about. So I'm going to focus more on the market and the consumer as a way to judge whether inflation's coming or not. And hopefully that'll give us some sort of a warning sign, if you will, before, you know, it's too late, if you will. The next couple things you want to look at are the University of Michigan consumer sentiment reports. We talk about that. They have two. They have a 1 year and they have a 5 year. The 1 year, we need to see that move well above 3.5% for there to be any concern. Now, we just broke through 3%. And so that's why, again, that's on the radar and we're starting to look at that. And the same goes for the 5 years, the same sort of numbers. And we want to see what that is, because that's more of a longer range, higher inflation spark. That's something we just need to be paying attention to. So again, if you're going to focus on inflation, if you think that's something that's going to, again, be a byproduct of what's going on right now with the massive amount of stimulus, then you got to pay attention to something. And I would encourage you to look at more of the market and consumer expectations as a sign of future inflation, as opposed to some of the commodities or labor, which are more temporary. As you can see with labor, we've seen it's in the last year, look at what's happened. It's incredible. Now, what else could slow down this market? Well, of course, the taxes. You know, we're hearing more now about the plan to raise taxes on those earning over $400,000. Also, if you're going to be selling some stock or some real estate over $1 million gain, well, you may have a big problem. Maybe paying over 40% in taxes when you add the 39.6 plus the Medicare Obama tax 3.5. You're gonna get up in the 43% range. So these are taxes that you could be spending on property if you're selling it. What would that mean? Well, it could chill the effect of the rising prices we've seen here, certainly in the Bay Area. Why? Because people will be selling these homes now before it's too late. Because if they wait till next year and they have that big gain, well, they're going to pay a massive tax. So that could affect the pricing and valuation of some of the assets you may own. So you may want to take a look at that or talk to somebody before it's too late. Next week, what are we going to be looking at? Well, we have construction spending. Again, that's a good sign of building and what's going on. And I'm going to say, if you know these taxes are going to be coming, you're going to have a lot of those developers stop developing. So that's something to be aware of. We'll see what the forecast looks like there. Weekly jobless claims, again, Thursday, I expect that to be positive like we saw this week. Again, those are seeming to open back up again, and people are going back to work, which is good. And then we've got domestic auto sales, and we'll talk about a mess. I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's a problem right now in this country with semiconductors, and it's affecting the auto industry. Ford apparently has got millions of cars sitting there ready to go. They're trying to figure out, well, what do we do? Do we wait till the chips come in and then put them in the car and then ship them to the dealer? Or maybe we'll ship them to the dealer now, and then when the chips come, we'll send them to the dealer, and the dealer can figure out how to put them in. It's kind of a mess, so it's an interesting time. We'll see what happens, obviously, and we'll certainly talk about it as we talk about these things every week. So it does look like taxes are going up, and if you make over $400,000 or you're about to sell a capital gain asset over $1 million, well, what can you do right now to do something about that? Find out before it's too late. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Higher taxes are likely in your future. Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets. So the unprecedented government stimulus continues. And now almost $6 trillion is out there. And this possibly means that there's going to be a higher tax in your future. So what can you do right now, particularly since it's tax time? And you're probably thinking about ways you can pay less in taxes later. So one of the most tax-laden assets that you probably have is your IRA or your 401k. And so as you start to file your taxes, you're probably thinking about converting some of that to a Roth IRA that grows tax-free. After all, it sounds like a great idea, because if taxes rise, you want something later that would come out tax-free. And that's where the Roth really could be a big game changer for you. But the question you have to ask yourself before you do that, before you just jump in the pool, is converting your tax-deferred IRA or 401k to a Roth really a no-brainer, or is it a big mistake? So this morning we're talking about that. It could be a big mistake. So what do you need to consider before you convert? Well, I've come up with five reasons you shouldn't do a Roth conversion this year in 2021. And maybe you want to write these down and think about it as you're about to file your returns here in the next couple of weeks. So let's begin by simplifying exactly what a Roth conversion is and how it differs from a Roth contribution. They're very different. So for 2021, you can make a Roth contribution if you make less than $140,000 as a single filer or less than $208,000 as a joint filer. And if you're in that category, then the total amount you can contribute if you fall below these limits is $6,000 or $7,000 if you're 50 or older. They call that the ketchup. Sounds pretty straightforward. No, it's not ketchup, the stuff you put on your hot dog. Silly. What about a conversion? A conversion's different, and that's why we need to talk about this. So since taxes could be going up, you may think about doing a conversion. And there's no shortage of guidance out there when you start to think about, well, should you do a conversion? It always makes sense, it seems like, but there's a lot of scenarios where it doesn't. So let's think about this. If you know that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket in the future, then this might not make sense for you. And that may sound obvious, and you may say, well, I could be in a higher tax bracket though, because it seems like taxes are going to go up to pay for this $6 trillion of stimulus that's coming. Okay, well, maybe, but what if you're going to be in a lower bracket? And let me give you an example. A way could be where, let's say you're a single person who lives in California and you're paying, say, 12% on income between $75,000 and $500,000. We're talking about like state of California tax. But if you're a Golden State resident and plan to, say, go to Florida, which now a lot of people are talking about, Florida and Nevada or Texas are looking interesting when it comes to taxes, they don't have state income tax. And so a Roth conversion probably wouldn't make sense for you if you're going to do that, because you're not going to pay state tax on that income later. Another consideration would be maybe you move to Georgia, and any resident under age 62 in Georgia right now should think about doing a Roth conversion, because Georgia has a retiree income exclusion that starts at age 62. That gets even more attractive each year and hits a maximum of, get this, $65,000 per person per year for those 65 and older. So if you're thinking right now about your real estate, maybe selling this, particularly with this capital gain news we just heard, that if you have a gain over $1 million, you could pay up to 43% federal tax on that. It's a lot of tax. So maybe you're going to sell your property now here in the Bay Area and move to a different state to pay the current rate, because you're uncertain about what's going to happen next year. And if you think this is a strategy you may want to think about, well, then before you convert to a Roth on top of that, consider what that state income tax is. So even if you think tax rates could be higher in your future, and I don't know you, but for some people out there, clearly they're going to be higher. Just it is the obvious that we're seeing. You need to consider whether you personally are going to be in a higher tax bracket. And many people right now are in a lower tax bracket in retirement than they were during their working years. And this could be the case too under the new tax code. Remember, they're really focusing on those making $400,000 and above. And those of you who are not, and maybe in retirement you won't be, then you're probably going to be in a pretty good position. So maybe you shouldn't consider a Roth. Maybe that really wouldn't make a lot of sense. But how do you really know? Well, here's some more numbers for you. If you make between $195,000 and $350,000 married filing jointly, the current federal tax bracket on that amount of income is 24%. So you're going to pay 24% federal tax on any converted amount that you convert from an IRA to a Roth. And let's say that $125,000 is what you decide to convert, and after paying the ordinary income taxes you do on that, you invest the difference into a Roth IRA and have that money grow tax-free for, say, 20 years or so. Now, coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where we'll discuss one very important reason why you shouldn't convert your IRA to a Roth, and it's one many people can miss. And then later in the show, we're going to share that converting to a Roth may be bad for you if you want to access your money sooner rather than later. So much more is coming your way here on Protect Your Assets. Stay with us. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. And right now, there's no argument that the federal government is pumping an unprecedented amount of stimulus into the system. And as we heard this past week, President Biden said that if you make more than $400,000, then your taxes are going up. So if you're like me and you believe that taxes right now are on sale, then you should be doing everything you can before it's too late. So thank you for tuning in this morning. If you missed any of our show, particularly the market segment, I know markets right now seem to be, sort of running at elevated air. And if you're wondering what's going to propel them higher or lower, I actually talked about that this morning. And if you missed it, you can go back and listen to it on my podcast at PY Radio. Go to pyradio.com and you can listen to our podcast. Or if you are like me and you use... what's that app I use all the time for the music? It's Spotify. If you have Spotify, go into Spotify and just search PYA or Protect Your Assets, and you'll find it right there as well. Look for the market segment. That's our podcast where we talk about markets. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers. And here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
All right, so here's one they say, especially right now. They say that converting your IRA or your 401k to a Roth is a smart idea because you can lock in today's low tax rates by paying the taxes today. Well, what if you pay the tax bill from your IRA? Is that really a good idea? Well, it might be, but if you don't have enough cash or savings to pay that conversion tax, well, guess what? It might not be, and you might not find out until next year when it's too late. So by converting to a Roth IRA, a person is paying tax on that IRA money that's coming out now instead of later in retirement when taxes arguably could be higher on your ordinary income. But you shouldn't plan to use funds from your IRA to pay the tax now, since your new Roth IRA will have much less money in it. So where should that money come from if you're thinking about doing this? Well, let's look at an example. Assume you're planning right now to convert $100,000 from your IRA to a Roth in 2021. You're in the 24% federal tax bracket. So the $24,000 in taxes, again, I'm talking about federal taxes, they need to be paid when you do that conversion. So if $24,000 is withdrawn from, say, your savings account to pay the tax, then your new Roth IRA will start with $100,000, the same $100,000 you pulled out of the IRA. And that way it can grow more than if you started with the balance of, say, $76,000, because the $24,000 was withheld when you did that conversion. I call this sort of a handicap if you're doing it that way, because you're not giving the account the ability to participate the way that you would have wanted it to, which is compounding tax-free by taking that money from the conversion. Now, since the money withheld from the conversion, if you go that way, for taxes counts as an IRA distribution, and if you are under age 59 and a half, you need to know about this. You're going to pay a 10% penalty in addition to the income taxes that are owed. So again, this may not be the best decision, and so make sure you understand those rules as you do that. Now, what's another of my top five you need to know? Well, next, if you might need the money from this strategy you're doing, say within the next 5 years or less, a Roth conversion could be a bad idea. Roth conversions involve a couple of five-year rules that can generate taxes or penalties if you are not careful. What are these? Well, penalties from early Roth conversions. Here's how this works. For anyone who's under the age of 59 and a half, a five-year clock starts on January 1 in the year the funds are converted to the Roth. If you take a distribution from that new Roth within this five-year window, well, guess what? There's a 10% early withdrawal penalty that's charged on your principal. We're not even talking about the earnings yet. So it's important to note that each Roth conversion you make has its own five-year clock, and make sure you keep track of that. Next, tax-free distributions of Roth earnings. In order for those earnings to be tax-free, meaning coming out being distributed tax-free to you from the Roth, the five-year rule must have passed first since you did that very first Roth IRA account establishment. So realize that in order to get that benefit that you're after, you have to satisfy that five-year rule. So even if you have multiple Roth IRAs opened in different years, this five-year clock that I talked about starting on January 1, that tracks each Roth IRA. So if you're trying to be cute and having several different ones out there, make sure you're tracking that five-year clock from January 1 of the year you started it. That's how that works. And lastly, a Roth conversion could increase your Medicare tax. And this is a big one that a lot of people miss, and I want to educate you about this now. When you convert your IRA or your 401k to a Roth, that's going to increase your taxable income that year. And this may increase your Medicare premium as well. And for those of you looking at Medicare out in the future, you need to know about this. So let's take a look at how this could affect your Part B premium that you would end up paying if you did a conversion. So if your modified adjusted gross income is above a certain amount, you could pay an income-related, what's known as the monthly adjustment amount. It's also known as the IRMA. You may want to write that down. I-R-M-A-A. Medicare uses your modified adjusted gross income that you report on your tax return from 2 years ago. And this is the information that they use to calculate how much you're going to pay for your benefit. Now, the average in 2021, the average standard Part B Medicare premium, the reason why you need to know this is, are you average, or are you going to be above average? This will be fascinating to you. In 2021, that number is $148.50. So if you're an individual and you make $88,000 or less, or if you're married filing jointly and you make $176,000 or less, then your premium amount will be $148.50. But get ready for this. This is incredible. If you're single and you make above $138,000, then guess what? Your premium jumps to $386.10 per month. You heard me right, $386. Get this, if you make over $500,000 as an individual or $750,000 as a couple, it goes up to $504.90. So what about all those people in between? Well, if you're above $163,000, less than $500,000 as an individual, or above $326,000, less than $750,000 as a married couple, $475.90 and 20 cents. Yeah. So these are monthly amounts that you will have to pay, and they're just going to be taking this right from your check. So it's time for a quick break, but when we come back, keep it tuned right here, because I'm going to be talking about how a Roth conversion could be wrong for you. The answers are coming up next. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey, Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Everybody loves the sunshine.
Well, it's May 1st. Taxes are just around the corner, and you're right now you're probably thinking about, since we've heard for some, taxes are going up. What can you do right now to pay less? Well, Roth IRA conversions are super hot right now. So this morning we've been talking about five reasons why you may not want to do it. Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. So I'd like to wish some happy birthdays coming up this week. Jerry Romani, Nicole Harity, Kevin O'Donnell, and Dr. Neil White. Hope you guys have a great birthday. And this morning we've been talking about five reasons why you may not want to do a Roth conversion, even though it may seem and sound like a great idea. And I've even heard stories of where your tax advisor is telling you to do a Roth IRA conversion, but they're not addressing some of these factors we've talked about this morning. And they're certainly not mapping out in a mathematical spreadsheet what the future could look like. So, again, just double-check that decision if you're thinking about it and go through these five areas I'm talking about. If you missed any of that, again, you can go back and listen to the podcast at any time right there on your smart device. It's super easy to do. So let's address the fifth one right now. If your beneficiary will have a lower tax bracket than yours, then a Roth may not be a good idea. Here's what I'm talking about. You may have a large 401k and you roll that over to an IRA. And as you know, you'll have to start taking your RMDs when you're 72. But it may not deplete that asset. And when you pass away, you're going to potentially, on your beneficiary designation form, it says who's going to receive that asset. Now, if it's somebody who's in a different tax situation than you, like maybe your kids or your grandkids, then deciding whether to convert to a Roth or not may be
crazy.
A very important decision.
Because if
your beneficiary is going to be in the lower tax bracket in the future, then it may not make sense, because your goal probably is to maximize the value of that account across multiple generations.
Oh my, I was just like,
taxes have to be paid from the account at some point. So it may make a lot of sense to let whichever owner is in a lower tax bracket pay the tax. And as you do this, remember, you have to keep in mind the law right now that requires that need to be distributed within 10 years. I don't know if you heard about this. It was very controversial. This, you know, do you have to take it out in equal installments over 10 years, or can you wait until, say, year 7, 8, 9 and then do it then maybe when you're retired? This is a decision that just came out. We read about this past week. It's up in the air. So there is an interpretation about it now saying you need to take out a little bit each year over the 10-year time period. And so you need to look at that very carefully and make sure you're making the right decisions around that. So if your heirs are only have 10 years to spread out this income from the conversion, well, how will that affect your plans here? Because that may not be what you were intending, and it may not work out mathematically to the way that you wanted it. So again, you have to think about this if there is a pretty good size of money in that account that's going to roll over to those heirs, then you really need to be looking at how that will work. So no matter how foolproof your plan may seem, you know, if anything taught us anything, it was 2020. When you hear about things that make a lot of sense, like a Roth conversion, you have to ask the question, you know, do they really make a lot of sense? And earlier we were talking about Medicare. And one thing I want to make sure you don't miss is that when you do these conversions, realize that that income adds to your bottom line. And they look at these things going back a couple years as they're calculating that that premium you're going to pay for your Supplemental B Medicare health insurance. And so those premiums can be pretty expensive. We were talking last segment about how, you know, it could add another $500 a month to your cost of living, and that's just per person. So if there's a couple of you, that can really add up rather quickly. So, you know, make sure you're aware of that before you just go ahead and do this. Again, it's something you don't usually find out about until, you know, a couple of years have gone by, and then you're going, well, what's this about? How did this happen? So, you know, again, if 2020 has taught us anything about what can happen, the reality is almost anything can happen. And that's why when it comes to this sort of idea, Roth conversions, you really should be talking to a tax professional, a financial advisor, and an attorney who can map these things out for you in a way where you can decide if this makes sense. Is it the right thing to do? I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another great show this morning. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers there doing all the hard work. Brett and Phil, thank you. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.